your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
David.
Hi, Big Hungry, how are you?
Good afternoon, mate. What's going on? What's going on in the epic darkness that is space?
Things are getting a bit twisted.
Oh, great.
The Milky Way is the galaxy that we're in. If you look up at a good night sky, a nice dark sky, you can see a band of stars going across the sky, which some people thought was milk, but it ain't. So that's our galaxy. We're inside it. Our sun is just one star amongst about 200 billion stars in the galaxy. And when we look beyond our own, there are billions of galaxies out in the universe.
Agreed.
So we can find out a lot about other galaxies, but finding about our own is quite difficult because we're actually inside it.
Right.
So a lot of it is hidden by what is what makes it up. So the shape of it is basically like a couple of fried eggs or a couple of sombreros facing each other. There's a bulge in the middle and a disk of stars and gas and dust going around that. It's about 100,000 light years across. Okay, so a light year is how far light travels in 1 year, which is about 9.5 trillion kilometers. So it takes light, nothing goes faster than light, about 100,000 years to go from one side of our galaxy to the other. So it's huge.
So it's unfathomably large, basically.
Well, exactly. But as I said, because we're inside it, it makes things difficult. Well, last year we discovered, well, astronomers discovered that, in fact, it's slightly bigger than that, maybe even up to 50% bigger.
What I love, though, is like, I mean, well, does anybody have any grasp of how big that actually is?
And when you get things get very faint.
I don't think humans really have a concept. I don't think we can really fathom, once you start getting into those sizes, it's much of a muchness, isn't it? It doesn't.
This is just our galaxy.
Yeah, nobody can comprehend that, really.
The other galaxies go out to over 12 billion light years away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but so just sticking with our galaxy.
Yep.
So we now know it's a little bit bigger than that. There were faint stars beyond what we thought was the edge. And now they've discovered that the disk isn't flat. It's got an S-shaped twist to it.
An S?
Like an S.
Oh, yeah.
As in Sam, okay? Yeah. So it's warped. The outer edges are warped. And it's taken this time to discover that because of the difficulties of actually seeing those stars and being able to measure the stars out near the edge as well. There are plenty of other galaxies, about a dozen that we've seen out in the universe that look the same. They're this warping shape. So now we know that our galaxy is similar, so it gives us a better handle on what our galaxy is like, but also how it became the way it is and what the future of our galaxy might be, and therefore our future in the long term, of course.
Right, right.
Crazy, crazy. Now, David, is it Space IL? Space IL have launched or are about to launch a private spacecraft out into space and hopefully landed on the moon?
Yes, it is. IL being Israel. So this group is a private group. Originally, they were part of the Google Lunar X Prize program, but that lapsed in March last year with no one even getting to the moon, let alone claiming the prize of $30 million. But a number of the organizations have continued, and this is one of them. And so the way they're doing it is that instead of building a rocket and so on, they're just concentrating on the craft itself. It has to land on the moon and travel 500 meters. So what they're doing to get there is they're piggybacking on a rocket that's sending a satellite up to where communication satellites orbit about 20,000 or a bit more than that kilometers above the equator. So they're piggybacking on that rocket up to there. And they'll be released at the same time as this communication satellite. But then they've got a rocket on their little craft there. And from that height, they don't need a big rocket to get to the moon. Okay, the SpaceX rocket has done the heavy lifting and got them to to that height. So the smaller rocket will get it to the moon. It'll take about 2 months to get to the moon. So instead of 3 days, like the astronauts, there's no one aboard this. It doesn't matter how long it takes. So what they do is a bit like a swing where you give a person a push or you give yourself a swing at the bottom of the motion when you're on a swing. So as the satellite comes around the Earth, it gives a boost on the rocket, which has sent it to a higher orbit. When it comes around the next time, gives another boost. And so the orbit gets longer and longer until eventually the moon's gravity will get hold of the rocket, and then it's an easy drop to the surface from there. So they're doing it a clever way, a cheaper way, and hopefully, so they will be the first private concern to land on the moon. It'd be terrific.
Far out.
Yeah, so they're taking a couple of instruments and a laser reflector just to prove that they did get there. But at the actual time on the surface, it'll be a matter of probably days. What they're hoping, though, is they'll be able to hop on the moon. So they'll be able to fire its rockets after it's landed and propel itself to a second landing spot with a big hop. So we'll see how that goes. So that should be launched by the time of our next talk on BFM. It might be delayed, but that's currently, it should be, in fact, the day before our next talk. And then it'll be 2 months before it actually arrives at the moon.
Very impressive.
Now, yeah, but we'll see how that goes, and hopefully some of the other companies will get their projects to the moon as well, including one that's meant to be going on a rocket lab rocket.
I wonder at what point we go, hey, that's enough shit on the moon now, everyone, okay?
Yeah, I don't think it works like that.
Okay, well then it's broken.
If there's a buck to be made at some point, they'll do it.
Okay, cool.
Now, the Russians have got a brand new space facility. Why on earth would they be building more space facilities?
Well,
because space.
Politics and history, really. What they've been using for pretty much the whole of the time that they've been launching satellites is a launch facility in Kazakhstan. Now, of course, when that started, it wasn't Russia, it was the Soviet Union. In 1991, the Soviet Union was dissolved, and all the countries split up, including Kazakhstan and Russia. And so since 1991, Russia has been leasing that space launch facility from Kazakhstan.
Okay.
They don't actually have a launch facility on Russian soil at all. So that's sort of the basic issue, I suppose. That facility is old now. That's another part of it. And coming up in the not-too-distant future, the United States won't be needing it to get to the space station. They've been using Russian craft to get to the space station since the space shuttle was retired. But they're getting close to having their own private launch facilities to get up there, so that will cease, possibly even by next year. So I think the Russians have been looking forward to that, and I think there's political reasons why Putin wants a big project. They've got this wonderful new facility, but it's not clear how they're going to use it. Number of missions and the type of missions and how they would move them from Kazakhstan to Russia isn't clear, but anyway, they've got it, and that gives them another option.
Nice one. Now, the planets are aligned in the morning sky, David. Which planets are these?
Well, there's the bright ones, really, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. So in the morning sky before sunrise over in the east, we've got very, very bright Venus, which is almost due east an hour before sunrise, so about 20 to 6. And that will get even brighter over the coming weeks. Above that, and a little bit to the left, is Jupiter. So really nice, bright planet to see there. And down to the right is Saturn. So over the coming weeks, Saturn's going to gradually move up towards Venus, and Jupiter will slowly move away. So Saturn and Jupiter will get higher in the sky. A good line up there. People get out in the morning with a camera and get a nice photo of the three of them all lined up there Be pretty great, I reckon. If you're interested in the constellations, just above the three of those is the Scorpion, or the Maori star stories, Maui's fishhook. So it's quite a nice pattern there for budding astrophotographers.
Fantastic.
Now, there is lots coming up at the Stardome in the coming weeks, and I guess next week is Valentine's Day.
Yeah, next month's the big one with Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day, there are five shows. That's Thursday next week, the 14th, at 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10 p.m. So it's a romantic night under the stars. When you arrive, there's drinks and canapes with music. And then there's a show concentrating on or featuring constellations and stories in the stars that have a romantic aspect to them. And the ticket includes a gift bag, which has a bottle of Dorset Rosé, a couple of stemless wine glasses, an Adopter Star Pack, which is $65 in value, plus some romantic goodies to share, including some edible treats. I'm not going to divulge what those are, but very, very popular show each year, five shows, and you really need to either book online or phone Stardom at 624-1246 to make sure you've got your place.
Cool. And what's this Beyond the Solar System?
Beyond the Solar System is the evening show. That's at 9:30 p.m. on Fridays and Saturday nights. So in January we had a grand tour of the solar system. In February it's Beyond the Solar System. Mm-hmm. So going out into the galaxy we've just been talking about, the Milky Way, visiting star clusters, nebulae, some exoplanets around, there's around stars other than our sun, other mysterious space objects, and I think the show ends by actually leaving our galaxy and going out into some of the other galaxies beyond ours. So yeah, it's the next step in exploring what's out there. So this is Beyond the Solar System, having done the solar system in January.
All right, fantastic. There is something else that both Big Hungry and I are a little bit excited to see coming up at the Stardome, but...
A synthesized universe, mate. Old man Anthony Tonin's going out there with his deluge and doing some light controlling and performing?
Yes, that's in March. Mm. I think it's called A Synthesized Universe. That's part of the Auckland Arts Festival.
Yeah, it looks like a really good time to start. There's three shows happening.
Yes, there are. Yeah, and people will definitely need to book for that. Seats are limited for each show.
That's what I'm getting at. Consider this a bit of a verbal booking, David, I guess. We're going right to the top of this.
I wish I could help you.
That looks like a good time, though.
I know he's already been in to work with the... our planetarium technical people on the audio already. It looks like it will be good. I mean, it was sold out in Otago at the Science Centre there last year. It looks like it will be good. That is a good heads up for that one. We actually have another event, which is on Monday, which I understand is pretty close to sold out. In fact, it's called Her Story. The 11th of February around the world is International Women and Girls in Science Day. And so on Monday, there's a special event there for women and girls in science and especially in astronomy at Stardome. That's $10 a person. But as I understand, it's pretty much sold out. But there might be some tickets free or cancellation. So women and girls out there want to... participate in that. That'll be really good.
Nice one. Thanks for that tip, David. Hey, we'll catch you in a fortnight, mate.
Look forward to it. Right.
Thank you very much.
Stay cool.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.